Experts claim there is nothing tougher than a diamond. But at Diamonds Direct, we beg to differ. Have you ever met a mother? Strong, radiant, timeless. This Mother's Day, give her the gift that meets her match. With diamond jewelry starting at $200, plus Diamonds Direct's exceptional quality and unbeatable everyday price, you're sure to give her a gift that wows this generation and the next to come. Experience the thrill of jewelry shopping done right at Diamonds Direct. Diamonds Direct. Your love, our passion.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to Season 83, Episode 5 of Der Daily Zeitgeist, yeah! A production of iHeartRadio. This is the 400th episode of a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness and say, officially off the top, fuck Coke Industries and fuck Fox News. Fuck. It's Tuesday, Fox. May 28th, 2019. My name's Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. for the bemused, confused, and intimidated, it's the Jack and Tosh 128 Bay. That's a line for the advertising for the 128K computer, courtesy of one Christy Yamaguchi, man. And I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Ray!
La, 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 wait till I get my daily zeit. I had a dream I could buy my way to heaven. When I awoke, I spent that on McBreakfast.
Okay, that was also from Chrissy Yamaguchi, man. Because y'all know, also, warning to all the McBreakfast fans who like the all-day breakfast menu, they are allowing certain franchises to limit their menu. So, you know, just keep an eye out for that. You might not always be able to get your artery clogging goodness and high blood pressure fuel on demand like you used to.
Does that? How do you think the breakfast compares in terms of artery cloggingness to a lunch there? Would you say?
Because I feel like, yeah, I probably the same shit.
I feel like I'm basically eating a salad when I'm eating the Egg McMuffin. Like that's.
Oh, in your mind, because you're like, breakfast can't be bad for you. Even if I'm eating a whatever that double stack where it's just like three sausage patties, two eggs, 9 pieces of cheese.
I mean, shit.
Salt is good for you, right?
Yeah, salt is good. I like my diet to be comprised, you know, at least 65% of sodium. Yeah. Well, we are thrilled to be joined in our third seat by a returning guest, the hilarious comedian and activist, Mr. Derek Lamo.
Oh, hello, guys, gals, and non-binary pals.
How are you?
Oh, I love it.
I'm solid. Thank you for having me back. This is like a three-peat. Congratulations on the 400th episode.
Thank Something you. Like that. We could be off by two, but you know,
we don't show, do it like those other podcasts where they like make a big deal and get a special guest.
We kind of like on the morning, Anna will go, I think this might be 400. We're like, oh, all right.
Oh, cool.
Cool.
Wow.
Cool. or 402. We don't know. You know, it doesn't matter because we're not keeping score.
Yeah. We are not.
The score is about the equality around the world, and that score is not even yet.
We're the Kawhi Leonards of this podcast shit. We just put up numbers and don't make a big deal about it. Very workmanlike.
I love that. I love that because after every sport event, like it doesn't matter what it is. I don't know why we're still doing post interviews with athletes. Like, so can you tell me a little bit about the game? Like, it's the same.
The interview sport, with Kawhi Leonard at the end of the game at the end of last week was the, like, yes, they're all really bad, but that was the worst. He was just like, she was like, so what are you thinking going in? You're one win away from the finals. He's like, I don't know, man. I haven't even been back to the locker room.
So it's
like, yeah, we just saw you play the game. That was
yeah, it's either that. It's like, you know, we just try to have a really good game out there and, you know, just play hard, give 110%. It's like, you're never going to get anything different.
It's amazing that they can go from doing something so ingenious and high energy to then getting in front of the camera and just being the least interesting, most bored human beings in the history of television.
You could probably remember when Sinclair Broadcasting made all those anchors say the same thing?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Just do all these post-game things and the overlapping moments are like, yeah, I mean, we just had to work as a team on that one.
Right.
You know, we had to grind it out in the fourth quarter, but I think in the end, you know, we came through, our shooting improved a lot.
Right.
You know,
I do admire Kawhi Leonard, though, because he is the normcore of that interview.
Yeah.
He goes out of his way. He doesn't even put those talking points together. He's just like what's a word that I can say here? How's that?
You should just go like, you saw the game, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Can I shower and then I'll come talk to you? Does that work?
Okay. Or even when somebody does say something interesting, you know, it's just like, I'm just here so I don't get a fine. Mm-hmm. Like, that is the realest, truest shit ever.
That is the best.
Shout out to Beast Mode.
Yeah. All right. We are going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment, Derek. First, we're going to take our listeners through a couple of the things we're talking about today. The fans declare a victory in the Sonic Wars. Sonic is back to...
The Hedgehog, not the drive-in.
Right. They are pushing the release so that they can make a Sonic that makes everybody happy.
Yeah, fine.
We just found out about a movie that I'm very excited about that we'll talk about, the Between Two Ferns film. We're going to talk about another peek behind the curtain of a Tony Robbins motivational seminar. We are going to talk about the president's going just full rogue, loose cannon, Mel Gibson and Lethal Weapon on... his quest to investigate the investigators.
You know, fascist autocrat.
Right. Yeah. And Nancy Pelosi being made to look drunk at the end of last week, and Rudy Giuliani being actually drunk. We're going to have a special segment that we're calling What We're Fucking With.
What You Fucking With?
Just stupid shit that we're talking about and enjoying around the office.
Or just things we won't stop playing over and over and laughing, and people
are
like, what the
jokes
fuck?
That are stuck in our head. And then we're going to talk about the National Enquirer Museum, which is a waking nightmare. But first, Derek, we like to ask our guests, what is something from your search history that's revealing about who you are or where you are?
I had to look up my YouTube history, and it's just full of John Malkovich clips.
Okay.
Like, interview with the vampire, being Claudia. John Malkovich. Like, it doesn't matter what character he's playing, like, it's always just him being John Malkovich.
Yes.
Yeah.
I feel like anyone who writes a script, they just know it's like, this is Malkovich, basically.
And it just, he has the most spot on inflection. And like diction.
Yes.
Yeah.
And he speaks very slowly. And it's just one like, oh, I love it, but I hate it at the same time.
Right.
He sounds like a dude who's gonna have like a fit at a McDonald's ordering counter.
Right.
Like, just his cadence is like that of a person who's like trying to keep it together.
Right. I was told that the cutoff time for breakfast was 10:30.
And you're like,
it is 10:28, and you are refusing to serve me a McGriddle.
Yeah.
Do you know what
I would
this
like
is?
Yes. To speak with a manager.
A manager now. I have a plastic gun that I snuck past security.
That was his thing in the line of fire.
Yeah. I remember being very confused as a kid. I was like, that's a gun?
Yeah, man.
But hey, you know, just need that firing mechanism.
What is something you think is overrated?
Civility, I think.
Okay.
Just like this idea that it's like, oh, guys, you know, we have to like keep everything calm. Things are crazy and out of control. And the more we just like acknowledge that, like, that in itself is being like, no, we're not going to make this be normal. Right. Like, you know, 6 migrant kids have died.
Yeah.
Like, there are plenty of victims of Nazis and fascists, and we're still desperately trying to, like, no, everything's fine. Everything's fine. Everything's right. fine. And it's like, no, it's not okay, guys. You can say that, and you're not being inflammatory. You're not being dramatic. Like, you're observing, we are all living in this hellscape, and it's okay to be like, hey, this is crazy, yeah. right? I'm not alone in this.
Right.
Yeah, well, civility is sort of like the defense mechanism conservatives like to deploy when they're being taken to task over their support of this president or the party
yeah.
or the policies. And that them being like, how could you support them? Like, can we just be a little more civil
yeah,
about
can
this?
Can we just really have a civil conversation? Yeah.
It's like,
yeah.
that's Meghan McCain's blood type is civility. You know right. what I mean? Because she's on The View being like, I just think it's really unfair. It's like, no, motherfucker, because you've right. aligned yourself yeah. with this bullshit, so yeah. this is what
Children
comes with it.
Well, I think
dying.
It's unfair that you haven't accomplished anything, but yet you're given a platform.
Yeah.
Right.
Hey, but you know, it's look, DC is just like Hollywood, baby. You know
yeah,
what
true
mean?
Story.
It's
yeah.
nepotism,
it really
baby, all around. But I think also, but civility, I think if we're talking about civility, how about we're treating people with civility?
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know what I mean?
Other human beings.
Yeah.
Just yeah. letting them die.
If we're really about civility, then let's look at these policies and you tell me where the civility is. Do we look, are we operating like a civilized society?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Does banning yeah. abortion, is that civil to people who can be pregnant? Like, no.
Right.
And the I think the broader point is too, just like, you can, it makes people uncomfortable, like just being like, hey, look, this is not cool. And yeah. we all, I would hope, we're not all, you know, narcissists. We're laying in bed at night just like thinking about all the mistakes that we've made and all like, oh, man, that was a really dumb thing that I did. Or, oh, man, I was such
right.
an idiot.
When I was 7.
Yeah. yeah. Or
I
even
like I
4 years
like
ago, I still think about all the dumb shit that I did.
Yeah,
and all
yeah.
the gross things, you know, like I believed. And it's like, you know, I am capable of doing better, and it makes me want to do better, because it's like when you lose friendships or people like hold you accountable to things, it's like, no, dude, you're better than this. Come on, you
yeah.
know better.
Right.
It really implants that seed in somebody else's brain. It's like, well, am I? This person
right.
I know and trust and love thinks I'm being an asshole. Maybe I'm being an asshole.
Right.
Yeah.
We can all be better, you know?
Yeah. And just trying to seeking comfort and like being, I mean, it's perfectly natural, but it's not, we don't all deserve comfort. And if shit is going wrong in your society, like just being like, God, I just can't take this news cycle and stopping paying attention is not the move.
So that news cycle shows up at your door.
Right. What is something you think is underrated?
This is a new development, milkshakes.
Yeah.
Hey.
Yeah. Completely
delicious.
Delicious snack and
nutritious.
Also a tool to fight fascism.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah.
There was some Twitter poll that was like, who's done more to fight fascism, liberals or milkshakes? <It's> like, <"Ew." laughs> yeah, you know, a lot of people don't, especially, I mean, like I guess true sort of neoliberal type people who are like, I guess fascism, I'm not dealing with that yet.
Yeah.
I'm looking at this other version
yeah.
of what is fucked up. But yeah, the milkshakes have people shook. After Nigel Farage got hit that first time, he had another bus stop he had to do, and the man had to hide in his bus.
And the way that
so
it was framed was so funny. It's like, Nigel Farage is being held hostage by milkshakes. I'm like, that should be in like carved into his headstone.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes. Held hostage by milkshakes.
Yeah. It makes you look like you just got shit on by the biggest bird in
yeah.
existence.
Well, I mean, unless you're extremely lactose intolerant, where you will just explode if milk touches your skin.
Right.
Like, you're not being held hostage by milkshakes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, you are being held hostage by the threat of you looking like a fool.
Yes.
And that's your ego is actually holding you hostage.
Good writer J.M. McNabb looked into the origins of the milkshake attack and found that it was just sort of a spur-of-the-moment thing where some hateful politician in the UK, do you remember that dude's name?
Oh,
like far-right.
Tommy,
far, far
what's
right,
his face?
Was harassing a...
Tommy Robinson, I think,
yeah,
right?
Was harassing an Islamic guy, and the guy was just happened to be holding a milkshake and just was like...
Here, have that.
Here. Have a sit, because he was physically threatening him. So I mean, it was like a defense, and he started trying to like punch the guy and beat him up, but he just kind of walked away.
Yeah.
And then later that day, somebody else threw a milkshake in the air. It was just like so perfect that people were like, "Oh yeah, this
milkshakes.
Is yeah." It was
yeah,
like one of those.
If you're not gonna throw a Molotov, throw a milkshake.
Yes.
Yeah. We'll get to Molotovs eventually. Right, but exactly. Right now, milkshakes are fine. And, you know, milkshake 2020.
Yeah. And also, people might not realize this, but McDonald's milkshakes are extremely flammable. So they can.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's not milk in that
one. It's basically petroleum.
It's all the preservatives.
Yeah. Right. And
it's napalm, basically.
What is a myth? What's something that people think is true you know to be false?
And I'm bringing this up because my mom does it a lot, where she's like, you know, son, like, you need to respect everybody's opinion. I'm like, no, you don't.
Right.
No, mm-hmm. You don't. Because, like, if I like that James Baldwin quote. It's like, we can have differences of opinion, but if your opinion is rooted in my oppression or dehumanization, then no.
Yeah.
And that is fundamentally what I believe. Like, it is fine. We can disagree about whether pineapple belongs on pizza. It does. Or whether cake or pie is better. Those are fine.
And
or
what
sports team. You know, as I'm getting older, I have more of appreciation for pie, just yeah. Because cake is...
It was more fun as a kid.
Cake.
Yeah.
Every
yeah.
time.
It's like art. You know what I mean? I've been like, I respect the pie more now, mm-hmm. You know? As I get older as well, you know, these are interesting times. Back to, not to take the steam out of what you're saying, which is a very good point.
Yeah, like little characteristics in the things we enjoy yeah. are fine.
Right.
But fundamental differences in whether or not you think somebody deserves equal rights is not okay.
Right.
And you don't have to respect that.
Yeah. And this, I feel like usually white men tend to use this as an opportunity to be like, yeah, then why can't I like say the jokes that I think are funny? Or like, why do you guys have to look at Green Book and criticize it? Mm. It's like, that is an example of where your ideals, like in a way that might not be evident to you, are enforcing oppression. You're kind of communicating oppression in a way that isn't evident to you, but it's evident to people around you.
Yeah, absolutely. Or even more recently, like the abortion debate, you know,
right.
A lot of dudes were like, well, I thought it was no uterus, no opinion. It's like, okay, look, you can have an opinion, but is your opinion helping or hurting the people who are most impacted by these laws?
Right.
And if they're hurting, then you need to shut up.
Well, it's hurting those clumps of cells that I've defined as a citizen, sovereign citizen
right. yes.
of the United States.
And who are the most important
that's,
people?
Yeah, that's companies. Make. Can be citizens. Yeah. Zygotes can be citizens.
Right.
Black people and migrants, not so
no.
much.
Trans people, no.
Not so yeah. much.
People, no.
Hmm. Hmm. I wonder if something to that.
No. And that's racist.
Right.
Is that my other favorite thing. And we'll get to some other interesting defenses,
I'm racist.
Too.
Now, that's racist.
No, that's racist.
That's racist.
That's reverse racism.
Right. Reverse racism.
I'm you know, shout out to Twitter for people realizing that old one doesn't work. They found new ways to describe reverse racism. But I remember in like the 90s and early 2000s, that was like the cool debating tactic. Well, that's right. Like reverse racism.
Yeah.
What about white chicks, dude? What about white chicks? Why can't I?
Okay,
if,
you all right? You know
if
what?
They did that. What about white chicks?
I'm in the process of talking to the Wayans brothers now, so we can figure out how to square that away.
Guys, let's get into equally important news. They have decided to push back the release of Sonic. It was supposed to be this summer?
Yeah. And or sometime this year. I forget.
Sometime this year.
I blacked out right. watching it, so.
Now it is one of those giant culture-changing moments that's going to happen in the year 2020.
Yeah.
They have pushed it back to February 2020. We'll all be in the thick of the election, and... Yeah, we'll also be paying attention to Sonic the Hedgehog.
I guess the director was tweeting, just like, look, I hear you. You're upset
yeah.
by the design. We are going to do better. And that was like the beginning of the month. And then today it was like a hand-drawn sign of like clearly Sonic holding a thing that's like, February 2020, we'll
oh, yeah.
get rid of the wacky teeth and make the eyes nice.
What are his eyes going to look like?
Probably more like that big goggle eye.
Yeah.
That
right.
Everyone was like, why the fuck isn't it just like Sonic looked?
One eye, two pupils.
Yes.
Motherfucker.
Yeah, but I know Sonic's thing is supposed to, you gotta go fast, but the creators went too fast.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Way too fast. Just pump the brakes
mm-hmm.
and get the look right. When it first came out, I wasn't as upset because I never had Sega Genesis, so I didn't have the same, you know, affection for the
right.
character that some people do.
Were you an SNES?
Yeah, yeah. And like when I asked my mom if I could Genesis, she's like, you have Super Nintendo. And I'm like, yeah, but see, the X-Men game isn't on that shit, and I want that because I want to play as Gambit. Are you hearing me?
Mm.
And she basically threw the Mario Paint mouse on the floor. She was like, that's your new game.
Right.
Mario Paint was not that good, but look, I made it work.
Well, at least you didn't have to deal with the terror of Sonic 2 in the underwater levels.
Yeah.
And having and running out of air.
Yes, I remember that. Okay, dun, so my dun, neighbor dun, had dun, it. Dun, dun. Yeah. Woo, boy. I not only played it because, you know, Miles, Tails.
Right.
So.
But yeah, you when you couldn't find one of those air bubbles, man. Woo.
Yeah, that's when you learned what true terror was.
Because I was method about that. I would hold my breath while he couldn't breathe, you know?
Oh, that's why.
Just
take
a breath.
Oh, yeah, because you have that scar on your forehead.
Yeah.
When you passed out in front of your TV.
Yeah, that scar. I appreciate you acting like there's only one.
The ones that are numbered, I remember.
So we've also learned about another coming attraction. Between Two Ferns is going to be a movie somehow.
The last time
there was a work of comedy that I was confused how they were going to translate it into a movie, it was MacGruber, and it ended up being one of my favorite movies. So I'm excited about this, because you have to get inventive to turn a format into a feature-length
especially
film.
Something that's so rigid, where it's like, this is what this thing, this bit is just, it's just literally Between Two Ferns going off the rails. But, and... it already sounds like it's meta version of it. The description, as Netflix has released it, says, Zach Galifianakis dreamed of becoming a star, but when Will Ferrell discovered his public access TV show Between Two Ferns and uploaded it to Funny or Die, Zach became a viral laughingstock. Now Zach and his crew are taking a road trip to complete a series of high-profile celebrity interviews and restore his reputation. Directed by Scott Aukerman, Between Two Ferns, the movie is a laugh-out-loud comedy, blah, 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 blah. Anyway, so...
never heard of the director, but it sounds like it's going to be good. So,
yo, whoa, whoa,
shots fired, here, Wolf.
Now he's never gonna come on the show. It's okay. We have agents infiltrating Earwolf.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, so the deal is, I think the movie will just be a lot of cool Between Two Ferns bits with connective tissue of like stuff before and after the recordings, maybe.
I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. Seems like that's what it's gonna be.
Would it just be funny if it was just one after another, like an anthology
of
them?
Oh my God.
Just no real plot.
Or just a 90-minute
long-form interview. With Mark Maron.
With like a 3-minute like silent pause for awkwardness would just make, it's like, it was the funniest moment. They were just exchanging looks for 3 minutes. I couldn't believe it.
But as you said, Miles, all hail deficit spending.
Yeah.
Because, man, Netflix spending that cheese.
It's like they know money doesn't matter.
Right. Yeah. And I think that's good, because things are going to get approved that wouldn't normally get approved.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
That we're going to see some new ground broken.
Also, Netflix, fucking holler at us.
Yeah.
I mean,
dude.
At this point, where the fuck is our TV show?
Yeah. Daily Zeitgeist. Deez and Zemero have one.
Right.
Yeah. You guys deserve
one. Deez and Zemero, they deserve it. I'm the biggest Bodega Hive fan.
They're great.
If you haven't heard, constantly me referencing all their drops. But yes, they're great. And I love that their show's not twice a week, but I need Showtime. So I'm watching I'm finding ways on Mega Upload, things like that.
Yeah.
We got to subvert the system.
I got to get the Showtime plugin or the Showtime login.
We got the plug. I know Super Producer Anna Jose is like, I had it, but when we were first talking about it, you were silent.
Yeah, you didn't.
Kept those cards close to the chest.
Because there's also the Wu-Tang of Mics and Men, which is such a bad title that I actually love it.
If it were like of Mice and Men, which Wu-Tang member would be Lenny?
I mean, it would be ODB, right?
Huh. Well, I guess, let's think about it. I mean, I guess then we have to take apart how we saw Lenny.
Right.
And then is ODB, was he someone who was simple-minded, did not understand his true power?
Yeah, I think so. I think he was just like pure primary process, just like you're seeing the inside of somebody's so completely unself-conscious. You can't help but love him, like doesn't understand how amazing he is.
What about, who would be Curly?
Curly?
Yeah.
Probably RZA.
Didn't Curly have the gloves with the Vaseline he slept in?
Yeah.
Remember
that? Oh, wait, am I thinking of...
Curly was the dude who was running the shit.
Oh.
And then there's Curly's wife.
Right, right.
And
who
George
would be Method Man, Curly's wife.
Curly's, okay.
I'm just saying, very.
And that's the T. What about who would be George?
That's who
that's
I was thinking
RZA.
Of. RZA.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay, I fuck with that.
Yeah. Or you would have George and Lenny being Ray and Ghost, because they're like the duo that like are actually super
that
tight.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
And then I would say Ghostface would be Lenny, because his flows are way more stream of I don't know.
Right.
He
has a definite
stream of consciousness flows.
He's on some next shit.
Yeah. I'm constantly on Rome. I'm Sprint or some shit. I remember. Call me Sprint because I'm always on Rome. Something was like a line.
Yeah. That would be amazing if I finally get the Showtime login and it's just them like reenacting of Mice and Men.
Mm-hmm.
But I've heard that's not what it is. That's a really dope documentary. Anyways,
I'm sure John use that as a drop in, like, teach me about the rabbits, George.
Right. Boom, 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 boom.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Steinbeck's Enter the 36 Chambers.
Yeah. All right. We're gonna take a quick break. We'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
And we're back, and I kind of admire what BuzzFeed is doing in their kind of battle with Tony Robbins, because every time he's like, they're flat making stuff up, they're just like, okay, we're going to release another thing that is going to make you look real bad.
Let me go through my wallet really quick. Here's a receipt.
So the latest thing they released is a video of one of his seminars from the 80s, where he uses the N-word 10 times in like a minute in a story about how he won over a audience of black men who were like mad and thought he was being racist, because all his examples of success were white people, and he was like, so I started using the N-word, and he literally uses it and then explains how like by doing that and forcing them to confront their anger about racism, he brought them around.
God.
Yeah.
This is so humiliating. So he's really using that Candace Owens victim, and he's like, and guess what? I'm gonna call you the N-word.
Yes.
And that's not you being offended or me bringing up years of oppression and racism.
Right.
That's you actually taking on a victim mentality.
Right.
Just your mentality.
You're letting that word control you.
Okay.
And therefore.
Yes.
And by the end, guys, wait. So you think that he's not on the right track, but by the end, he wins them over.
Is that what he says?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. So
I
he
can't
red
wait
pilled
until
him.
That until the producers of Green Book turn that into a feature.
Yes. Yeah. Exactly.
It's just that seminar. They stretch that 10-minute clip into a 90-minute film.
So, it's...
or they play that 10-minute clip 9 times.
Or I'm sorry, we just have to pitch this film. It would be like Slumdog Millionaire. With each instance, he calls one of these black men the N-word. We then flash back into that person's mind and we'll see his backstory, and then come back and then watch him confront that in real time. Move on to his next iteration. Guys, it writes itself. Give me the Academy Award. I have to go.
Boom.
So I'm Tony Robbins' lawyer, who has been kind of his partner in just responding to this in a in the worst way possible.
I can only imagine.
So his lawyer said in a statement that the presentation was positive and was accepted in the context in which it was conducted, a passionate discussion about racism and how to rise above it. And then... this is maybe my favorite example of, wait, but one of my friends that I've ever heard, and by favorite, I mean the most infuriating, they added, any suggestion that Mr. Robbins is somehow racist or insensitive to the African-American community is absurd and false. Indeed, indeed, one of Mr. Robbins's event partners for 25 plus years as an African American.
Is an African American.
Mr. Robbins's event partners, which is a made up phrase that doesn't mean anything.
What's an event partner? The dude who drives the truck with
right.
the stage.
It
on
could
it?
Be anything. So somebody he has met once.
He's
at
like,
an event. An event partner.
Yeah.
The man who brings me my Diet Cokes.
Yeah.
Right. So
his event partner, Sambo.
Right.
Has worked with him for 25 plus years. He shines his shoes.
Right.
That's like that. Oh my goodness. Again, I love the defense against claims of being racist is, if I'm so racist, allow me to direct your attention at this black body.
Right. Exactly.
That and exists.
Usually the claim is one of my best friends. This time it's one of my event partners.
We couldn't be more vague. And then he had to say, is an African-American.
Yes.
Wow.
But yeah, so, I mean, this is basically what we talked about with him. You know, he, in light of, you know, that defense and that clip, the idea that he's insensitive to the experience of being a person of color or a woman is just completely indisputable. And I think he is... Like, his whole philosophy is that any disadvantage that you have is just you letting that disadvantage control you. So his whole, like, mindset is, like, you know, about overcoming anything that makes you feel bad, which is a great way for a, you know, white
Six
guy
foot seven,
who's
yeah.
tall yeah. and gorgeous, as I mentioned yesterday.
Milkshake him.
Yeah. For him to, you know, overlook the fact that not everybody walks into a room and immediately gets the benefit of the doubt. So,
yeah.
Also, while we were reading about this last week, super producer Sophie Lichterman raised this series of Kobe commercials that we went back and watched.
Yeah,
and
the Kobe system.
It's now pretty mind-bending for, like, they would cut to a new person and it's like,
here,
oh,
we'll
shit.
Let me play a clip really
okay,
quick.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
It's a matter of fast and strong.
That's Kobe.
Tony Robbins, this is your last question.
Tony Robbins.
Listen, I just like to add what Mr. Bryant was saying here because about explosiveness, if you really want to change your life, then you got to take massive action. You got to immerse yourself. You've got to really understand that problems are really your gifts.
Are you done?
Yes, sir.
Yes, apologize sir. To Kanye West for
Kanye West.
$2 million of his time.
I'm sorry, Kanye.
And not only that, there's a moment where Aziz Ansari is also in it.
Yeah, there's another
And he's like,
Aziz.
What kind of tips? And Kobe Bryant
gives
is
Aziz.
Telling Aziz to be more aggressive.
Yes.
Just go after it.
It's,
and
they,
wow.
Like, so somebody just had an eye for, like, the most problematic.
Someone put that on Twitter, man, because wow.
Yeah.
Wowie.
Yeah. So shout out to, also, we were trying to figure out who wrote those. Whoever wrote those, they're actually very funny.
At the time, not knowing how, what was going on. Yeah, you're like, there's actually some good lines in there.
But you did know Kobe, so it's almost like
Kobe, you had to put that in the back of your mind.
Right. So they put that in the back of their mind. And they were like, you know who else would fit in this?
Tony Robbins.
Problematic motherfuckers like Tony Robbins, yeah. Kanye West, and Aziz.
What's funny is when Tony Robbins is talking, he sat next to Serena Williams. Shout out to her, powerful black woman, because she's rolling her eyes at
him. I know. I know.
So you know what? Serena tried to tell us.
Yeah. Let's talk about.
Always listen to black women.
Yeah, exactly.
There it is. Let's talk about the president of these United States.
Unless it's Candace Owens.
Right.
She's the exception.
I was just and going Diamond down one. I was like, who else?
They're the top three.
And Omarosa.
So there was a little bit of a tit for tat, as yes. I've heard it referred to in the media constantly, going on between President Trump and Nancy Pelosi and their respective camps. Actually, nobody really had Nancy's back, but like Trump's people came for Nancy.
Well, no one needs to have her back,
right,
because
she's all right.
She's not insecure, and she's just sort of like, I'm the speaker. And when Kellyanne Conway's like trying to talk, she's like, I'm trying to talk to the president.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Not some assistant.
Excuse me. So anyways, we...
She's pulling the ultimate, I need to speak with your manager.
Yeah, right. And she said, oh, I don't know her.
Right. So we talked at the end of last week about how, you know, they were supposed to have the infrastructure meeting. Trump stormed out in a pure spur of the moment storming out that happened to have visuals pre-printed.
Well-choreographed one.
Right, yes. So that he could go out and then ramble. And he hadn't written anything ahead of time because he rambled incoherently for a while. And then, I guess like Trump supporters slowed down a clip of Nancy Pelosi making it seem like she was drunk.
Yeah, but this was like the one of the last shots in the back and forth. Okay. So he stormed out.
Right.
Then was like, oh, you know, I can't believe what they did. They need to stop these investigations. There's no infrastructure. Pelosi was like, I'm praying for the president.
Yeah.
Very petty, but just like, I'm praying for him.
Right.
And because he was saying like he just seemed so off.
Red
like,
state people understand that. That's the equivalent of bless your heart.
Yeah, exactly. Right. But just being very, what do we call that? Patronizing, mm-hmm, with it. And then Trump started name calling. I think called her Crazy Nancy or some shit. She was like saying he's villainous. That's not name calling. That's a description. And then was also saying like, you know, imploring the Trump family and staff to have an intervention. That really fucked him up.
Yeah.
And someone's like, well, what are you trying to say? She's like, oh, I can be clear. I'm talking about the 25th Amendment.
Woo!
So she's like, hold that.
Yeah.
Now what do you got? Then we start seeing all these fucking weird videos come out. Then he's like, oh, I'm unfit?
Right.
Well, check out these doctored videos
because
of Nancy
Pelosi. Because
the
president's number one source of intelligence is just some memes he sees on fucking Twitter.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, on Stormfront.
Yeah. Yes.
Oh, boy. That's not happening anymore, right?
I think they got shut down.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah. GoDaddy pulled their license.
Oh, yeah.
GoDaddy. Yes, yes, yes.
Well, go on, Daddy. So then we got these altered videos. One was like, you know, it's just trying to make her have, like, as if her speech is slurred. The old gin goblin, Rudy Giuliani, then tweeted a similar video. Not the same one as Trump, but another one that was clearly just someone playing a video of her at, like, half speed.
Mm.
So her sentence was more like, this rather
right.
than I'm giving the president the opportunity. It's like I'm giving the president
right.
And it
most people, if you slow anyone down, it just makes them sound real fucked up.
Oh yeah.
I mean, people have done it to us before.
They've done it to us. They did that to me in court that one time.
Right.
And I'm
bullshit.
Telling you, that was a doctored video.
Yeah.
And then also to Trump too, I think is when it
well,
first
but the
began.
One, right. The one with Trump actually makes him more coherent because you can actually hear like his brain pinging between like the things that it's like really just you can see the path that his mind is taking as opposed to it seeming just kind of incoherent and rambling.
I mean,
still bad,
is.
But it's you see sort of the Adderall-addled path that it's taking.
Yeah. Well, and again, these are like I think these are only going to keep increasing, you know, because this was straight, like in 2016, it was all about trying to put up clips of Hillary, like she was dying of some new wild disease we never heard of, or, you know, her brain is falling out her nose.
Yeah.
She falls all the time because the tumor is so big, she can't even see.
Yeah. And also, it's so easy for them because the people who they're getting this to go viral with are all in their 60s and they don't have good eyes for detail. Like, The second you look at this video, you see her hair is moving in slow motion.
Yeah.
It's like, yo.
Well, and also, there aren't enough frames for the movement to be smooth at all. You're right. Like, oh, okay.
Right. So you're watching a video in slow motion. Y'all realize that, right? Nope.
Look, quick tip to y'all, if y'all really want to do it and slow it down, shoot in 120 frames per second.
Yeah.
You know, then you can make give us some semblance of it looking like 30 frames per second.
Yeah. Carlos Maza, a gay wonk on Twitter, actually had a really good explanation about that. He was basically talking about how, you know, like Fox News, we obviously know, is a propaganda machine for right wing politics. And most media outlets, like, if they make enough noise, they pick up on it. And that's why, like, the Hillary thing, well, oh, she's sick. Oh, what's going on with her health? And it's like, no, it's dumb. Like, use your good judgment that you sometimes have.
Yeah.
But if they make enough noise, it automatically gets picked up. And that's exactly what's happening in this case with Nancy Pelosi. It's like, well, what's going on with her? It's like that episode of Doctor Who where he's like, I can take down your administration with six words.
Mm.
You know, and it's, don't you think she looks tired? Like that, it's just planting the seed. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, like,
that's an episode of Doctor Who?
It is.
Really?
With the mom from Shaun of the Dead.
Huh.
She becomes the prime minister and with David Tennant.
And then he just says, don't you think she looks tired?
Yeah, he whispers. He was like, I could ruin your administration with five words. And then he goes, no, six words. And she's like, go ahead, try it. You know, it's very confrontational because she has basically gone full paranoia and wants to start like this space defense force. And Doctor Who is just like, no, that's a terrible idea because you're basically inviting conflict by doing that. So don't do that. So then he whispers to like her assistant, don't you think she looks tired? And within the next scene, everybody's talking about, is her health okay? Is she doing all right? And she resigns.
Wow. And was that after Hillary or?
This was David Tennant year. So this was like 2012.
Wow.
All right, Doctor everyone. Who? Doesn't he look tired? Doesn't he look tired? Doesn't he look tired? Nah, we're way past nuance. No, for Trump, that would work.
Because I'm not tired.
Because he looks like he is having trouble. But I mean, again,
this is another example of Republicans and their followers suffering from this very specific type of cognitive dissonance that requires them to immediately accuse the person criticizing them of the thing they're guilty of. And so they put out a video of Nancy Pelosi to make her look drunk after Trump goes up and has this like completely incoherent like speech in the Rose Garden. And then his drunkest ally, Rudy Giuliani, goes out and tweets that video and literally drunkenly.
Well, do you think he's drunk when he tweeted that?
What?
The apology tweet?
You don't think he was drunk?
I mean, I don't know. I guess I'm making the mistake of acting like we're journalists.
Okay.
Do we know he's drunk? Yeah, motherfucker's drunk. Yeah. I'm calling him the gin goblin. I don't know why the fuck.
I love it.
Hey, well, hold on, Jack. We don't know. We don't want to compromise our journalistic integrity.
All I know is that Trump didn't want to give him a job in the first place. The reason it took Trump a year to hire him is because Trump had heard his drinking had gotten out of control. He has admitted to going on TV drunk in the past like couple years. And people say that he's frequently like drinking during the day. And then he tweeted something that, just reminds me of like an email I would have sent when I was blacked out.
Yeah. Well, when he tweeted that video, everyone was like, take this shit down. Like that's, so he did. And then this is literally what I'm just going to spell out the first word of this tweet.
Yeah.
It's IVESSSAPOLOGY. So Ives apology.
Ives apology.
And then I'll just read the rest, but like I'm gonna read it like this. Ives apology for a video which allegedly is a caricature of an otherwise halting speech pattern. She should first stop and apologize for saying the president needs a quote intervention.
And then a gif of the Timberwolves celebrating.
Or the Hawks, I guess, versus the Timberwolves.
The only thing that would completely seal the deal is just, it's closed off with R.
A-R-E.
They ran out of characters.
Are you mad at me?
Are you mad?
Is that
at
what
me?
It is?
No, every drunk person.
This ain't even coming at 280. Drunk person this isn't ever. Even this isn't even clocking in at 230, these characters.
Are you mad at
me?
He retweeted.
He didn't take that down.
This shit is still up.
That is still up.
Or as of this recording.
Right. As of the end of last week. But he then tweeted what he meant to say, and instead of R, he tweeted, "People who live in glass house shouldn't throw stones," and did not tweet a Timberwolves gif. But that seems like it's directed at himself. A drunk person saying
what? And that gif though, it's like doesn't even make sense.
Right? Because
basketball
the gif
players celebrating.
I'm confused why that is even a gif in the first place, because it's not a good celebration. It's just somebody putting their hands up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not and one dude is like tying his shorts.
Yeah.
Okay, look, Rudy, Jingabi, somebody help you out.
Jingabi.
Somebody help Jingabi Dobby.
Let's talk about real quick the 20.
Wait, just one last thing.
Right.
Then I just want to add the last piece of this escalating war was when Trump basically just unilaterally said, I'm giving Bill Barr just the blanket authority to declassify information. Like, just from all these intelligence agencies to, quote, investigate the investigators of the Russia scandal.
Right.
So essentially saying, I now bless you, Bill Barr, fucker of information,
right,
to now manufacture new scandals by declassifying sensitive information.
Yeah.
Not to mention that it would also affect information, I think, that we've gathered through the Five Eyes agreement, like with other countries like the UK and Canada. Like, now that potentially means, guess who's not getting any more of that intel? The United States.
Right.
Because you've just been like, hey, why don't you, Mark Meadows and Devin Nunes, just drum up some shit and try and create some new Benghazi-type shit, Uranium One thing out of declassified memos. We'll selectively redact shit, and we can hopefully shift the focus away from the president's actual crimes.
Right.
Yeah, and this is exactly why the Democrats need to move to impeachment. Even if, you know, it's not practical or whatever, like, they still have a majority in the House. Like, the motion itself is what's important, because they constantly talk about how we need to take down Trump and use it as to fundraise. But then when the time comes to actually do something that would limit him, hinder him in any kind of practical way, they drop the ball.
Right. Yeah, and I think, you know, it seems like the Pelosi plan is to just slowly bleed the president out.
Mm.
Like, let all these documents come out. Let the scandals keep piling up and piling up. Because she's saying, it seems like the calculus that the president is using is, yeah, impeach me. You'll get it out of the House. We'll then do a sham fucking trial in the Senate where I control all the levers.
Yeah.
They will unanimously be like, oh, not guilty, with R. Kelly featuring Jay-Z. They'll campaign off of that. Look what they tried to do, and we still won. And I think that's the only thing they don't want to do, is somehow give the optics win of getting past the impeachment thing to try and be like, you see, it's all good. He got through impeachment, because
right,
this shit couldn't stick.
Right.
But at the same time, when you look, that's where I'm also like, I understand the political calculus, but the existential threats are far too real and pronounced for too many people that I can't, like, it's hard for me to square that with, like, what about all this other shit that is happening in real time?
Yeah,
that we can't get control of.
Exactly. Sometimes you can't worry about political strategy, and you just have to do what's right.
Yeah. And I don't think, look, at the end of the day, I don't know who's going to be really affected by seeing Trump getting through an impeachment process,
right,
and saying like, oh, now I'm going to vote for him. I was on the fence.
I think a lot of this is the lessons learned from the Clinton impeachment, the fact that, you know, he got impeached by the House but then got through the Senate, and people are like, well, that's what happened then, and people rallied to Bill Clinton's side. But they didn't have shit. Like,
yeah,
it's just underestimating the intelligence of the American people. It's
right,
assuming that, well, they're always going to follow this rule of, if you can't fully impeach him and if he only gets impeached. But this is a totally different instance where he has done a lot of really, really bad shit, whereas the Clinton thing, they were shaming a person for
perjury.
Right, and for an extramarital affair. That's what they really focused in on.
Absolutely.
And it was, you know, that's just some shit that America's like, all right, we get it. But that doesn't have anything to do with, like, the running of the
country. Yeah, that's not a real impeachable offense.
Right. So, they did overextend themselves on that one. But I don't think anybody's going to feel necessarily like this is overextending themselves. if he has in fact done all the things that by all evidence it seems like he has done. And this is also an indication that if you don't do that, he's going to do it right back and like try and find a way to like make his followers think
that. Which is what that whole, that announcement of being like, I now pronounce Barr master of propaganda.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know?
Or even, or you know, like just the deal that he wanted to make with Nancy Pelosi for infrastructure. I mean, that's not a deal. I mean, walking away is not deal making.
Yeah, it was all pre-planned. Yeah, though. It was mean, like an ambush that he really thought he
would work.
Had them.
Yeah,
because a lot of the reporting was like they were like, ah, this that doesn't make sense. Mm-hmm. Like it's gonna be great, and I don't even put a chair there because I'm gonna go in and I'm just gonna stand and be like, fuck you guys, and then I'm out, and then they'll see.
And the real question on everybody's mind, though, this is on the front page of FoxNews.com.
Uh-oh.
Can Trump prove he's the ultimate deal maker? Can he prove it? I mean, he's like, we all know it's true, but can he prove it?
With what?
Anyways.
How?
I think we all get that.
Yeah.
All
right.
Let's move on to
multiple bankruptcies are proof of just how good you are at business.
Can he prove it?
Sure, he's lost more money than any American during the years that we were looking
What's
at.
What's the text even? What are they even suggesting would prove that he could get something done with Democrats?
Yeah.
Because every other president who was going through any kind of investigations, they were still able to govern.
I think they were trying to kind of push him in the direction. I think Fox News gets that they're the only like source of information that he listens to, so they're trying to like nudge him in the right direction.
Right.
Like, hey, we'd think you're the ultimate deal maker if you just stop like making a complete fucking mockery.
They should just be like, new medical research shows making deals with opposition increases hand and dick size.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Just do that.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
And we're back, and we're going to try a new thing we're calling What We're Fucking With.
What you fucking with?
Around the office, some things, some silly shit that we've been having a good time with.
Yeah, because normally, that was it playing, sorry.
Yeah.
Normally, you know, we always hear guests, what's happening in their world.
Right, their search history.
Yes, and we also want to let everybody know, here at the Daily Zeitgeist, we are also stupid people.
Right.
Who laugh at really dumb shit on the internet.
And often, frequently, and for hours laughing over and at the over. Same thing.
Yes. Recently, I was playing a track by Logic featuring Eminem called Homicide in the office.
Mm-hmm.
And at the very end, there was a soundbite of this dude trying to pretend to be Eminem, like trying to copy Eminem's like rap god super fast flow style.
Right.
And I didn't know what it was. And DJ Dan goes, is that Chris D'Elia Eminem thing? And I was like, what? And then apparently it was just from a YouTube video of Chris D'Elia in his car trying to rap like Eminem. Should we just play the clip?
Yeah, because, let's just play the clip.
This here, then this is something we regularly laugh at.
I'm in a cabana chanting on a stand-up banner. Well, you don't got the stamina, you're lacking the stamina. You're lacking the stamina while you're divorcing Harrison Ford and I'm in a Porsche of the floorboards while I'm raw torrent. You're using way too many napkins. Lapkins is chapkin. You use the chapstick and napkins while I'm papkin. Flapping around like a babkin.
Okay, so.
So you're using way too many napkins and flapping around like a babkin have become probably the most frequently said things in the office.
Yeah, I think we greet each other with that.
Yeah.
We'll just, apropos of nothing, we'll just say it.
Flapping around like a babkin.
I'm sorry.
Using way too many napkins.
And at lunch, we deploy that too when we're eating. I'll look at somebody like, using way too many napkins. And then leave it there. I mean, I'm divorced Harrison Ford and the Porsche and the floorboards.
that one I think is the most accurate to Eminem because it's just, it's a combination. It's like a scene he's setting that makes no fucking sense.
Yeah.
But it has the phonetics.
But you're using way too many napkins. I'm sorry, guys, if you're now hearing this and go, wow.
Yeah.
The fucking idiots. But hey, we're just like y'all.
This is who you listen to.
Yeah.
Idiots.
I'm a moron.
With the next one, I just want to tell people to check it out. Stephen A. Smith, Baby Filtered. It's actually not the
He already looks like a baby.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why it makes it even better when you put the baby filter on.
And so there's one that's like a minute long where it's just a bunch of different clips of him, and they actually have the voice altered, and that doesn't work as well for me as this. There's this one on Complex Instagram where they just have an actual quote from him, but where his voice isn't altered, and but he looks like a baby, and it's incredible because it's just the most Stephen A. Smith thing that Stephen A. Smith has ever said.
Right.
It's and only 8 seconds. You want to just play
for
it
for people
quick?
Who don't know Stephen A. Smith, he's a commentator, a pundit for sports, and always has just the wildest takes. And he's a lot of people hate him. A lot of people also love him. A lot of people are kind of me. I just like to watch and just laugh at him.
I hate him, but this clip makes me have to respect
him. So we'll
him.
Play this clip. Derek, if you haven't seen it, just watch this.
Oh, my God.
You have to watch the video, though, because I'm sorry. This is more of a visual-based one.
Right.
But it's so good.
My first move as the executive was to sign Lamar Odom, who was on crack.
Which that's
Lamar Odom, who is on crack.
Which, like, for the listeners, that's just an actual Stephen A. Smith.
Right?
Quote,
yeah.
But
it looks like a baby.
It's amazing when it looks like a baby. It's also amazing that guy has a job. That's his take. Who was on crack?
What else?
And then I think our number one, let's pretend this is a countdown, even though the Chris D'Elia Eminem thing is probably the thing we spend the most time talking about. This video that we recently discovered, how did we end up on this video?
For some reason, I think I was asking about John Tesh. And then super producer Nick Stumpf was like, when I was doing road trips with the band. Like, John Tesh is kind of that talk radio that shows up when you're searching for shit on the airwaves.
Right.
And then Nick was like saying, he actually like composes like jingles and stuff.
Yeah.
And then we come to find out he wrote the NBA on NBC theme song.
He did.
He's not just a dude from, was it Entertainment Tonight or whatever, was where he got his start?
Yeah, I think that's the only thing he's done other than...
He toured with Rafi.
And he toured
with Yanni. I'm sorry.
Yanni.
As a touring keyboardist. So if you don't remember, for people who listen to the show, I know a lot of you do fuck with 90s basketball, and you know this song is... Okay, so y'all know that.
Okay, sorry.
So we found a clip where John Tesh is having a fucking concert, and he, like, one of the pieces he's doing is, like, all this pattern. He's like, I actually came up for the thing on a jog, and I left myself a voice note. So what we're about to play is this clip of John Tesh playing a voicemail to himself with the idea for it.
Live at the Red Rocks.
Yeah.
Sold out crowd, it sounds like. People are going nuts for... He's wearing, by the way, he's dressed like he's going to the prom. He's got, like, a tuxedo vest.
Oh, yeah. It looks like a prom after party.
Yes.
Because the jacket is gone. The collar's undone a bit, but he's still got the vest on. Very silky.
He is feeling himself as much as anybody has ever felt themselves.
Prom after party or 90s R&B group.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Definitely a Boys to Men like opening group on tour. I just found out the Red Rocks thing is mislabeled. This was actually at the Avalon Ballroom on Catalina Island. So it's like the Catalina Island wine mixer. Basically. Because the audience looks like it's Coachella for people who don't season their food.
Now, so Coachella.
Yes. So this one, I'm just going to play you from the voice note. And then there's a moment you're going to hear a bass drum. He pantomimes dribbling a basketball and then plays the thing on his keyboard so majestically. Just here we go. This is just, we'll check out John Teasy. Here we go.
Machine. So here now, the original demo tape for this particular song for Pro Basketball.
Hi, this is a message for me about the NBA theme. Here's an idea. It goes like this.
Woo! Yes.
So they're loving it. All the accountants are loving it.
That ball.
He's dribbling
that
ball.
He's Oh, and he looks like he does not know how to dribble a ball.
No, yeah. He has never running
to the keyboard, about to rip this shit. Get ready.
Yeah.
It's the violin players have choreography.
Y'all have to watch this. He looks like he's coming into the keyboard a little bit, like at one point, because he's just like feeling it so much.
He's so hyped.
Wow. Yeah. So y'all, again, that's what we're fucking with.
That is what we're fucking with, guys.
Please look at those. And you will see those links in the footnotes.
Footnotes. That John Tesh video needs to be seen to be believed, because his version of dribbling a basketball, you'd think a tall man like him would have picked up a basketball once or twice in his life. But he is dribbling like... They made a Broadway musical about basketball, and like the actors are like doing like a dribbling thing.
Yeah, or it's like
the lead up to a song.
Right.
Yeah, like if Stomp did a basketball thing.
Exactly.
Because it's like very rhythmic, but it's not like how you dribble a ball. It looks like he's patting very violently a child's head.
Yeah.
Life is like a free throw. It's like just you and the ball.
But there's a journey to the line.
Like, also written by someone who's never played or watched basketball.
Taking a free throw dunk. Doing shots from the arc.
From the arc?
What?
Of the covenant? Oh, there we go. A Christian-themed basketball musical.
There you go. All right, let's talk about what Pigeon Forge, Tennessee is fucking with. There is a new museum
that no one asked for,
except for me. But
really,
that's not.
We should go. Actually, out of respect,
I would definitely go. I want to see what the gift shop's like.
Ah.
But anyways, Pigeon Forge is a tourist trap haven. There is the Titanic Museum, the Alcatraz East Crime Museum, and of course Dollywood.
Yep, shout out to Dolly the God.
Of course, it's just funny that the Titanic Museum is in Pigeon Forge, Tennessee,
and also the Alcatraz East.
Yeah. What?
In case you can't get to San Francisco, come to Pigeon Forge, Tennessee. You can knock out Titanic. You can knock out Alcatraz. What did that one plate at that museum?
Dolly Dolly Parton's Stampede used to be Dolly Parton's Dixie Stampede, yeah. Which is basically medieval times, but reenacting the Civil War. We've talked about it before on the show, I think. The audience gets divided into North and South. The South will occasionally win the Civil War. Slavery is never mentioned.
Because we're trying to be civil.
Right.
It's about civility there.
Anyways, Pigeon Forge is home to a new attraction, which opened last week. It's called National Enquirer Live. It's a museum dedicated to the National Enquirer.
Yeah. I mean, for all the Boyd Watch fans, we should definitely pull up a group trip. Maybe we need to go to Tennessee, man.
Yeah, because why wouldn't you choose now to celebrate the famed tabloid that's been revealed to have allegedly blackmailed Jeff Bezos and used catch and kill tactics to bury scandals that could damage the worst president
and countless other powerful men?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, the exhibits are fucking lame as fuck. Well, and they spent $15 million on this.
They
fucking
spent $15 million and they are advertising the shit out of it as a family friendly attraction, which is weird. Like, that makes sense from a business perspective.
Yeah.
But the attractions they have are, like, one of the things they have is a 3D computer model of the car crash that killed Princess Diana.
Oh, God.
And you get to follow her route as she's chased by the paparazzi. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And then at the end, after the car crash has destroyed her body and she's no longer alive, they ask families to vote on which conspiracy theory they think is more likely: that the queen killed her, that she was pregnant.
Who do you think was involved? Were the royals even involved?
You know those fun conversations you like to have with your kids.
Yeah.
I'm imagining they have it's almost like the wax museum where they, you know, that you take your photo and then they put you up on a fake National Enquirer.
Right.
It's like local man
killed Princess Diana.
Right.
Because she was pregnant with his baby.
And they
honey.
Yeah. Islamophobia.
Well, speaking of wax museums, they had I think the visionary behind this, whoever it may be, had a dream of a wax museum, but they were also like suffering from a terrible fever because they have a room where you get to see different Michael Jackson photos recreated in like wax figure form, but he looks like he's like melting, or like it's like a mummified dead body.
It's like a brown face with a curly hair wig on.
Yeah,
it. There's nothing Michael Jackson about the fucking thing.
And one, they have a recreation of a photograph of him sleeping in a hyperbaric chamber, but it doesn't look like him, like Miles said, and he has like a big curly, you know, afro wig on. But his eyes are yellow. And he turns to you and then, like, closes his eyes and rolls back over, back to sleep. But they gave him Thriller eyes, the yellow eyes, which is...
Because, you know, they're trying to show... Maybe they're like, he's a monster.
Another fun exhibit for the whole family to enjoy. A recreation of Nicole Brown Simpson's condo where she was murdered, complete with her chalk outline.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Look, it's like the recreation of the front steps.
Oh, my God. Ugh.
Like, so what? And what? This is all supposed to be grammable?
Yeah.
So I'm like, go pose like Nicole.
No, you can't even get there, though.
See, if they wanted it to be successful, they would charge an you'd have to show how many Instagram followers you have to be able to get in.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways.
Ah, that makes sense.
Your kids will thank you.
Because
not your kids. Your kids' therapists will thank you.
Yeah, that is the worst thing. Dad, are we going to Busch Gardens or are we going to Disneyland? No, we're going to the site where Nicole Brown was murdered.
No,
yeah.
We're
going
to find out how Princess Diana really died. Who's Princess Diana?
Shut up.
Shut the fuck up. I think it was the royals because they didn't like Dodie Alfayette.
There's also a room full of celebrity portraits that will follow you around the room just for extra.
So they just, entire place is just built of nightmares.
Yeah. It's built of, like, what a bad trip would be. Like, they're like, how do we make sure that anybody coming here on a hallucinogen will lose their mind?
If you're Zeit Gang and you're in the Pigeon Forge area.
Yeah.
Go
on mushrooms.
If you go, hit me up and maybe we'll talk to you to get a firsthand account of what the fuck that was like.
Because that would be amazing.
I'm only reading the descriptions and I'm weirded the fuck out. So please, if you are in the Pigeon Forge area,
contact me at Miles of Gray on Twitter and let's try and figure something out.
Yeah, I mean, the only way it could get any worse, any more nightmarish, is that at the end of the tour, they asked you, like, would you like to give a skin donation?
Right.
It was like, we build all of our sculptures from donations.
Right. Yeah.
It's like, here, swab your cheek with this Q-tip. Find out, learn about your alleles.
Well, Derek, it's been a pleasure having you, man.
Oh, thank you, guys. I'm punching my third.
Punching third.
Yeah, punching your third stamp.
Third stamp.
Yeah, next one you get a free coffee.
Oh,
yeah.
I love it.
Sorry we made you pay for that one today, but hot water is expensive.
It is, and it's only going to get more expensive because climate change.
Where can people find you?
So I actually just launched a podcast, about patriarchy and masculinity. If you're into that thing, it's just, interviewing some guys, some gals, and some non-binary pals about, identity, sexuality, patriarchy, obviously. I scheduled Miles for
this summer.
A couple months out. Yeah. Yeah. Jack, if you want to jump
I'd
in
love
on that
to.
Thing, I'd love to. So that is called Mansplain Yourself, because of course it is.
Mm-hmm.
It's on iTunes and SoundCloud. You can find me on Twitter at my first and last name, Derek Lemos, or on Insta. I'm talking a lot of shit, so just strap in and be mindful of that. I will talk all of the shit.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
How are you spelling Lemos?
Lemos. Like lemons,
changed it up.
But no N.
There you go.
And Derrick.
Yeah, I'm using the oil Derek spelling.
There you go.
There you go. And is there a tweet you've been enjoying?
There's several tweets that I've been enjoying. There was one the other day. It was what brought up the milkshake thing. You know, she is a journalist. I honestly don't remember. But she had a really nice tweet thread about what embarrassment does to these guys, because like you were saying, like, their egos are ginormous and they really want to present strong and fierce and we're not afraid of anything, but you know, getting dunked on by a milkshake, like, you can't look tough.
Yeah,
right.
And if you beat somebody up over a milkshake, it's like, dude, you're a fucking asshole. So it is kind of the perfect tool to combat what they are presenting, because it just breaks everything.
Right
That's awesome.
Welcome up,
Miles. Where can people find you?
Find me on Twitter and Instagram at Miles of Gray. You can find me on PlayStation Network also, too.
Ooh.
You know, Zygame. We're trying to get this raid done. If your gear score is not 500, don't fuck around, okay? We're trying to get this raid done. Also, don't start min-maxing your shit. Okay,
I know what that means.
It's all good, man.
Go ahead.
It's all good, man. Two tweets I like. One from Dan White at Dan White. Please donate to my CrowdRise fundraising campaign. This November, I'm running the New York City Marathon to raise money for JPMorgan Chase. And then Jamie Loftus tweeted this fucking image, dude, of when I watch TV shows, I don't really see the commercials, but apparently Jack had seen it. It was like this thing for Schick Hydro Silk with this like anthropomorphized razor for women. And it's just really odd looking. And Jamie tweeted, I think I finally figured out which character in the MCU I'd like to play. Razor bitch.
Couple tweets I've been enjoying. At Drill tweeted, having to spell the word lunch instead of saying it so the boys don't get too excited, which is something for parents out there, and it implies that they're not feeding their kids. And Joel Kim Booster tweeted, if I had a nickel for every time someone wrote, we get it, you're gay, in response to one of my stand-up clips, it wouldn't really move the needle for me financially, as I'm already very successful and rich. You can find me on Twitter, @Jack_O'Brien. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page, and The Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. We also have a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes, where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as the song we read on. Miles, what's that going to be?
This is a new track from Flying Lotus and Denzel Curry, one of my favorite MCs. And you know what? It's not like typical Flylo production. He's coming back on some boom bap, sample based hip hop type shit, which I like because I am old and I am stuck in 1997 musically. Thank you. I don't know. I've never heard that sound and I don't like it. It sounds like a weird trumpet and I don't know what it is. But this one's called Black Balloons Reprise, Flying Lotus, Denzel Curry, off the new album, Flamagra.
Oh, is it? Are there references to the Goo Goo Dolls in there? Because Baby's Black Balloon.
Oh,
is,
you know what?
An amazing song.
I'll have to look on the Genius for the lyrics to see if they're talking about heroin.
Did you know it's really about drugs? Oh, you just said that.
I just said that.
Never mind.
And I was also there when.
Dick, you didn't know that though, right?
I did not know that.
Yeah.
I mean, because I was 12 when that song came out.
I just said that.
Right. Miles, did you know?
Yeah, bro, I just said that shit.
It's her producer, Anna. She knows the Goo Goo Doll song.
Uh-oh. Wow, she literally rolled
out of the room.
She just rolled her eyes so hard at you, she warped. My new favorite thing.
All right, we're going to ride out on that. We will be back tomorrow because it is a daily podcast, and we'll talk to you guys then. Bye.
The Big Bang happened when the black balloon ignited. I feel the pain shoulder to shoulder as I was knighted. The night turns to day and my days don't seem the brightest. It's like itis, I wanna take a bite of what life is. If the president fuck around and piss off ISIS, bury me in blueberry bills, jewels, and ISIS. Let's connect from mind to mind. Lies are on the rise, increasing bigger size. Start to victimize when evil's idolized. Inside my battered mind, I have visions of being broke. A broken man writing words of wisdom inside these notes. Shattered and lost, chattering talk, blabbering off. Grabbing the cross, telling Jesus nothing matters at all. The black balloon floats, the black balloon.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.